Matthew chapter 12. So I'm going to have a confession to you. I am actually going to skip a section of Scripture. I know I'm preaching through Matthew, but I'm just telling you, I'm skipping this section, and you probably wouldn't even notice since it's been a while since we've been in Matthew. But I'm skipping the section on the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think I know what it is, but lots of Christians have different opinions on what it is, and there's no way I would preach on this because there'd be so many questions. This is a Wednesday night prayer meeting discussion. This is, you know, so you'll have to, I guess, do a plug for Wednesday night. So I'm going to skip that section and jump right into verse 33. And it's funny, this sermon is on trees. It's talking about people are like trees. And in the final kind of thing that's going to happen around our church with all the remodeling and everything, the final thing that's going to occur is that we are going to be, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I believe, all kinds of trees are going to be planted. And I want to say it's up to maybe 100 trees are going in. And so we'll have all kinds of maple trees and oaks and trees. I don't even know what the names are. But the guys designed it in our church, and they'll be all different colors. And so it'll be pretty, we're going to transform it into a park, kind of a park atmosphere. So, but this sermon is on trees. And in my intro here, it's going to talk about trees and its fruit. By the way, what kind of tree is this? When you see apples, what kind of tree do you have? An apple tree. When you see cherries, what kind of tree do you have? Cherry trees. What kind of tree is this? A money tree. Now, for any of you that are younger, what is another name for a money tree? Mom and Dad. You are correct. In fact, does anyone know what mom actually means, the name mom? Does anyone know what mom means? M-O-M stands for, people don't know this, made of money. Okay. And for my final, here's my humor since we're on money. After the church service, a little boy told the pastor, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." "Well, thank you," the pastor replied, "but why?" "Because my daddy says you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." So. All right. Verse 33 of Matthew 12. Jesus is teaching, and he says, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." "You brood of vipers," he's talking to the religious leaders. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So I got 5 insights here. First insight, trees are recognized by their fruit. Good trees have good fruit, and bad trees have what? Bad fruit. Would you eat an apple that looked like that? Okay. Good trees have good fruit. Bad trees have bad fruit. You can recognize a good tree by its fruit. You can recognize a bad tree by its fruit. Number 2, second insight, it's in verse 34. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good?" Obviously, the religious leaders, you are a bad tree. You're a bad tree. So people can be like trees. Are you a good tree that produces good fruit, or are you a bad tree that produces bad fruit? And out of your, let's come to insight number three. It's the second part of verse 34. Jesus goes, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever in your heart, the overflow, your mouth is like a, I don't know, a pressure valve. And eventually, whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Now, I want to talk about words for a second, the power of your words. See, a good tree, which I believe is the believer that has Jesus Christ in their heart. And so then, with Jesus Christ in your heart, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, good fruit comes out of your mouth. The evil heart that rejects Christ produces evil fruit out of your mouth. And there are power in your words. Now, I'll come back to these two in a second here. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of what? Life and death. The words of the good tree, the good person, is the power of life. The words from the evil tree, the evil person, minister death. There's incredible power in your words. So let me go back to this one. You probably can't read this, but this is a husband chewing out the wife. And, you know, I'll just, you're stupid, you're dumb, you'll never amount to anything, whatever you want to say. And the wife is thinking, I am stupid, I wish I wasn't ever born, I'm sick. Do you understand the power that words have, the power for death and the power for life? What's the three worst words you could say to your kid that could minister death? And all it is words. You're actually not stabbing them. You're actually not shooting them. You're not hitting them. Just three words. What's the worst words you could say to your kids? You are worthless. You are lazy.
No video games.
No video games. That's low, Tom. That's low. Those are fighting words. Yes, I hate you. I hate you. What's the three most blessed words you can tell your kids? We love you. I love you. Okay. So this is a kid. This is words hurt. This is just words that are choking this little kid. And I'll get back to that in a second. The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words, that's when you get angry and you tell your spouse, kids, co-workers, are like sword thrusts. Ay, ay, stupid. But the tongue of the wise brings what? Brings healing. Healing to people that have been thrust through with words. I know we say that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. And you know that's false. The lips of the righteous nourish many. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. So I want to, let's come to fourth insight, and then we're going to take a road trip in the Bible. Verse 35. The good man, the good woman, brings good things out of the good stored up in him or her. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So the believer, you have a treasure. Some versions have treasure. And you bring the treasures out of the treasure that's stored up in you. There should be certain things that Christians have stored up that should come out of your mouth. And I want to do the road trip because I want you to see what kind of fruit should be coming out of your mouth as a test for yourself to see, are you a good person? Are you a person who knows Jesus? First place I want to take on the road trip, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you are a good tree, if you are a believer, here's one of the fruits, that here's one of the things that should come out of your mouth. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, I'd be very concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you will be able to say, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you've invited Jesus Christ and he actually lives in your heart, you will be able to say out of your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, I know I can go up to someone who doesn't know the Lord and say, can you say these words, Jesus is Lord? And of course they can say it. I'm not talking about the Christian says it naturally, says it all the time, says it week after week, says Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of the universe. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is Lord of the USA. Jesus is you know, my Savior and my Lord. If you can't say that, by the way, the reason I'd be concerned is in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. When you actually believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again and he's alive, and you've invited him in your heart, you will say to people, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior. If you can't say that, then you're probably not saved. If you're not saying that, we were just talking to some friends, and they were talking about how they got saved. Some Bud and Anna were witnessing to them, and they were talking, oh, they're holy rollers. They keep talking about Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is alive, and all this stuff. It was funny. It was like, that's the fruit of a good tree. That's a fruit if you're a believer. You can only say it if the Holy Spirit's in you. If the Holy Spirit's not in you, you never say Jesus is Lord. Let's come to Ephesians chapter 4. Some more fruit that comes out of a good tree, a good heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Says there, do not let any corrupt, unwholesome in the NIV. In the Greek, it literally is the word rotten. And it is the word that they use for fruit, for rotten fruit. And vegetables, by the way, for rotten vegetables too. But we're talking about fruit here. Do not let any rotten, corrupt, unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only, here's the good fruit, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So good fruit is, it benefits. It's to encourage. It's to build others up. Chapter 5, only Bill, chapter 5, verse 4 of Ephesians. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather what? Thanksgiving. A good tree, a good person, is thankful in all circumstances, situations. But obscenity should not be coming out of our mouth. Coarse joking. Now, I believe God has a sense of humor, believe me. And I think God loves good jokes. But you know what coarse joking is? Those are the inappropriate jokes. Those are the jokes, men, that you don't want any women to hear. Those are the jokes you don't want Jesus to hear either. That would be coarse joking. Those are the things that should not be coming out of your mouth. Because if it's coming out of your mouth, then your heart is a cesspool. And what have you been feeding on? What are you reading? Philippians said that we should, you know, think about things that are good and true and noble and right and pure. And so how can obscenity, how can bad, rotten, put-down jokes come out of your mouth unless you've been feeding on that kind of stuff? So this pastor was working on a roof, putting on a new roof. It's little kids watching. And he's watching a long time. And the pastor says, hey, do you want to learn how to put a roof on? And the kid says, no, I just want to see what a pastor says when he hits his thumb with the hammer. So let me ask you, what comes out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with a hammer? What comes out of your mouth when the driver cuts you off? What comes out of your mouth when your computer won't work and crashes? What's the overflow when you get jostled? What comes out of your mouth? So let me ask you a question. What comes out of your mouth when you hit your thumb with a hammer? Ouch. Pretty good. So I did some research for you. Let me give you some suggestions here. Sing God Bless America. God Bless America. Now, I thought that works pretty good. When you, believe it or not, they have studied this. How long when you hit your thumb with the hammer, how long does it hurt for? The average is 3 minutes. So I was thinking, well, God Bless America, you could probably stretch out for 3 minutes. You could say cheese and crackers. I like this one. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Are you kidding me? Or someone just says, you just go, bad word, bad word. Bad. I don't know if I like that one. All right, Thanksgiving. 1 Peter 3:8. Colossians says, to give thanks in all circumstances, to richly meditate on the word of God, to sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So the good tree loves to sing to the Lord, loves to give thanks, is in the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll start in verse 8. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with what? But with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So, do not, when someone insults you, cuts you down, mean to you, do not return. It says in Romans chapter 3 that before we're saved, that all that comes out of our mouth then is cursing, insult, revenge. We talk back, okay? But now that we're saved, if someone insults you, you are to return with what? With a blessing. Now, what does it mean to bless someone? What does that mean to bless someone? That's what you are called to do as Christians. When someone insults you, someone curses you, someone says something mean against you, you bless them back. What does that mean? What does it mean to bless? What does the word bless mean? To be kind, nice. To bless is to make someone happy. To bless is to give to them love. To bless could be to pray for them. To bless could be to share Jesus with them. Giving of your heart. Okay, you're called to bless. Now, I won't have you turn there, but let me just read Romans. Jesus calls us in the Gospels that if your enemies curse you, you should what? Bless them. Paul in Romans 12 says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And then in verse 21, Paul writes, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I'm going to explain something to you about blessings and cursings in the Bible. So Paul says, you need to bless those who curse you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with a blessing in return. So let me tell you about blessings and cursings. A lot of theologians believe that the angels and the Holy Spirit are activated by blessings, by prayers. That God, and I do not take it to this extreme, but that God basically doesn't do anything other than by answering the prayers of the saints. Okay? Now, I think God can do things whether we pray or not. But I do believe in the power of prayer. And so that prayer activates, when we pray and the prayers go to heaven, the angels are activated, the Holy Spirit is activated to move in our prayers. And it also seems that curses activate the evil spiritual nature around us. That curses activate the demonic forces to be able to have power. This goes back that your words have the power of what? Death and life. Death and life. And that's because they activate, words activate, prayer power activates the Holy Spirit or the angels, or your words activate demons and devils. And so, if you curse your child, let's say you're mad at your child, and you go to your child, "You're stupid!" You have just activated the demonic force, a demon, to take that, because you understand those are just words, right? But the demon is able to take that and to remind that child for the next 40 years of his life that you said they were stupid. And that demon will remind that child at a regular basis because you've empowered that demon to do that because you cursed your own child. That demon now has the authority to tell your child for 40 years that dad said you're stupid. Even if you just did it in your anger, okay? You tell your daughter, "You are the ugliest thing." You just activated a demon to remind your daughter what you said long ago. Now, you need to understand, let's say someone curses you, okay? And so Paul says in Romans 12 there, do not be overcome by evil. So if someone curses you, you're in a spiritual warfare. Before we were saved, someone curses you, activates a demon against you, you curse them back. You activate a demon against them. They curse you back again, and so you're in spiritual warfare. But for the believer, we are called, according to 1 Peter, when someone insults you, someone curses you, what are we called to do as a believer? As a good tree, what are we supposed to do? Bless. Bless back. So Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with a blessing. The spiritual warfare that you want to get when you're getting involved with, what should come out of the mouth of a believer is blessing back. Come to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James 3. It's the book right before 1 Peter. Verse 9. Oh, by the way, I didn't say this in the first service, but you'll give me a few extra minutes here. I get upset when people curse themselves. When people curse themselves. How do people curse themselves? When they go to themselves, you know, you mess up something and you go, "I am just stupid." You just cursed yourself. Or when you say to yourself, "I am no good. I am a loser." Do you understand you are cursing yourself? One of the biggest things that always, like, oh, I can't stand it when people say this. And you'll have to just excuse me because I'm going to use the terms here. I mean, the biblical terms in the Bible. But when people say, "I'll be darned" or "I'll be damned," I can't stand when I hear people say that. Do you know what you are saying when you go, you know, someone does something and you go, "Oh, I'll be damned"? You realize you're just putting a curse on yourself and you're saying, "I'll be damned to hell"? Do you know that's what that means? Why would a Christian, and of course Christians go, "Well, I didn't say I'll be damned, I said I'll be darned." People curse themselves. They give permission to the enemy by cursing themselves. All right, James, verse 9 of chapter 3. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. This is the people This is how you tell the real Christians from the Christians who just go to church and go through the motions. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we, what? Curse men who have been made in God's likeness. This is the guy that goes to church and sings to the Lord. He praises the Lord. But when he leaves church, he insults his spouse. He cuts down the person that cut him off. He's hurting the person at work. He just, you know, so he's praising God one moment, but he's insulting and cursing others the next. Verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Listen to what the Lord says here. My brothers, this should not be. This is wrong. This should not be happening for a good tree, a good Christian. Verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Why can that not happen? If you have fresh water and salt water that come together into one spring, what's that spring going to be? It's going to be salt water, right? So it can't be fresh water. It's only going to be salt water. Verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Look, if you're cursing, something's wrong with your spring. Something's wrong with your heart. Because if your heart's right with God, if you got the Holy Spirit there, only blessings should come forth. You should not be having curses and insults and knocking down people. And if you hurt your child or you hurt your spouse, the blessing that you need to do, remember the tongue of the wise brings healing? You need to go back to your child, and studies have shown this, that men live. If their father told them they were stupid, men that are 50 years old are devastated. And fathers, if fathers go back after they get saved and say to their son, like the blessing that the Heavenly Father gave Jesus, and say to your son, son, I am so proud of you. You are amazing. You are brilliant. You will bring healing to that wound. You will remove the empowerment of that demon that you gave to your son long ago, and you will remove it, and the Spirit now can minister healing to your child, to your spouse, to your parents, to anyone else that you've cursed in the past. You can minister with blessing, healing to that injury that you've dealt to them, even if they were mean to you. And that's how you win the lost people, by the way. The people that curse are mad at us. We're called to bless them. All right, back in Matthew, we got to finish up. Last, Matthew 12, number 5, the last insight here, verse 36. Last insight is, I know you may not think your words are very important, your idle, careless words. But listen to what Jesus says. And it's interesting to me that he's not even talking about what you're thinking. This is what's coming out of your mouth. Verse 36, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. See, this is interesting. Some people say it's you need to control your thoughts, your mind, that God's actually going to judge. And I know it says in Corinthians, he judges our motives. But he's judging us by the words that come out of our mouth. Verse 37, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So in other words, in some sense, people are going to come before Jesus, and all Jesus is going to go, he's just going to say, hey, play the words that this person has spoken. Because you see, a good tree produces good words, good fruit. A bad tree produces bad words and bad fruit. So, angel, turn on the CD and let's listen to the words of this person and find out if they're a good tree or a bad tree. We'll recognize them by their fruit. We'll recognize them by their words. And so the tape, now I realize none of us are perfect, but this is the process of sanctification. This is, if Jesus has come into your life, there's a change that occurs. It's got to be a change. He's living in your heart. It's out of the overflow of your heart that your words speak. If you got Jesus, if you got the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the right words have to come out of your mouth. Play the tape. So the angel plays it and you're listening and you hear, Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior. I follow Him. And you hear blessings and people are praying. And when they've been insulted, they say, you know, you're amazing. And you're praying for that person. And yeah, I hurt someone, but look it. They went back and they say, look, I am so sorry what I said to you. I was so wrong. You are an amazing son or daughter. And wow, listen to the words. There's a change here. Listen to the fruit. Oh, they're not perfect, but you can tell this is a good tree. This is a person who's born again, who knows me. You can hear, oh, I love that. Jesus is Lord. The only way you could hear this that often is the Spirit of God is in this person. You are acquitted. You are saved. Your sins are forgiven. But this person over here, when you play back the tape, oh, they never talk about Jesus being Lord and Savior. And they're always insulting and cursing and knocking down the people they work with. They never pray for the people they work with. They never bless them. They never give to them. They never write them a card. They never tell them about Jesus. It's always insult and cutting down their spouse and their family and the relatives and the neighbors. And Jesus says, condemned by your own words. Your own words. You never said, I was Lord of your life. You never said, Jesus is my Savior. You never, oh man, the only thing that's come out of your mouth is bad stuff. You are condemned by your own words. We don't have to go into your thinking, your thoughts. We just do it by your words that came out of your mouth.